Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. My guests today are three of the four candidates vying for the Democratic Party line for the two at-large Syracuse City Council positions. The primary election will be held September 10th. Joining me are the two candidates that the Democratic Party committee has endorsed, Jeff Wright and Pamela Hunter. In a twist that we'll explore in our discussion, the two incumbent Democratic at-large city councilors, Lance Denno and Gene Kestner, were not selected by the party and subsequently chose to mount a primary challenge. Councilor Denno joins us today to complete our panel. Note that Councilor Kestner was also invited to join the panel but did not respond to my initial request and then cited a scheduling conflict once the time and date for the conversation was chosen. This will be a two-part conversation to be aired today and again next week. Today, we'll focus our discussion on the process of the City Council and of this election. Next week, we'll focus the discussion on specific policies affecting the city. Councilor Denno, Mr. Wright, Ms. Hunter, welcome to the program, and thanks for being willing to engage with each other in this format.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Grant.
Well, I want to start with how we got here, because it is an unusual circumstance, and I asked a couple of observers of local politics, and outside of the case of actually Pamela Hunter in 2011, none of us could remember a prior instance where the party committee did not endorse the incumbent office holder from that party, and I think it's related to the issues in this election. So, Jeff Wright, let me start with you and ask you this question related to that. Had you planned on your own to pursue a city council seat in this cycle, or were you initially approached by others?
I decided on my own.
Okay. And you had, did you have any early conversations with the mayor or party committee members as you were going through that thought process?
My initial conversation was with one of the ward chairs who actually did approach me and have the same discussion that I was already contemplating on my own.
Okay. And Pamela Hunter, same question for you. Are you a self-starter here, or were you recruited?
No, definitely not recruited. My campaign committee, after 2011, and we were not able to get on the ballot, it was always our intention to look for running for the seat again in 2 years.
Okay. And so why do you think, let me stick with you, why do you think the party committee made this unusual move to make a change from the two incumbents?
It was actually quite interesting with the 230 or so committee members. I did garner the highest percentage of votes from the Democratic committee members. And I think from their viewpoint, they were looking for a change for the past several years. And I know personally, having sat on the council, we're looking for leadership, looking for a different way to move forward. We are in tough economic times, and I think that the strained relationships that there are with city employees and some of the councilors trying to get things moved through obviously were an indication, but the percentage of committee members that are actually City Hall employees are very few. I think maybe 36 of the 230. But the majority of the committee members that I talked to, I actively engaged. I talked to almost every committee member. I sent each of them a mailing. And so I think that in having conversations with them, they said, we need to stop. We need to stop this arguing. We need strength in leadership, and we need to make different decisions for how we want the legislative body to look going forward.
And Councilor Denno, obviously I want to talk to you about this as well. But first, let me just get quickly from Mr. Wright. Is there anything that you want to add to what Pamela Hunter said?
Pam said pretty well. I myself met with the ward chairs prior to making a final decision, and it was very clear that change was something that they were very much interested in and would support, and at the same time were very encouraged that I was coming to them.
So, Councilor Denno, you're on the other side of this equation, obviously. Why do you think the party made this decision to, the committee made this decision to make this change?
Well, I think we need to recognize that the party committee is not necessarily representative of all of the Democrats in the city of Syracuse. The party committee voting structure is not one person, one vote. The voting structure is based on election district turnout and votes for governor in that election district in the last gubernatorial campaign. Consequently, you'll have a situation where by positioning different committee members in different election districts, you can influence the weighted vote of each individual committee member. I would just point out, for example, that Councilor Pat Hogan's son, Joe Hogan, has been a member of the Democratic Committee for a few years. He previously had somewhere between 70 and 80 weighted votes. He was, prior to this election season, moved to a seat that gave him 13 votes. In rather sharp contrast to that is the situation of Mayor Miner's sister, Mary, who previously had some 370 votes and was recently moved to an election district that has 580 votes.
So let me just get something straight here. We still want to get to the bottom line of why you think the party committee didn't select you. But so there's no geographic tie then. It's not like if I'm from that ward, that's where I live, then that is the part of the committee process that I'm going to represent. I can move around. Do I have that right?
Exactly, within the state assembly district.
Who makes that decision?
Well, it's ultimately generally made by the party committee
as itself.
Yes, exactly, and typically by the executive board.
Okay.
And then it is, new members can be brought in by vote of the general membership.
So back to the bottom line, why did the committee make this decision?
Well, my belief is that it was almost exclusively the result of personal outreach by the mayor and her staff, looking, as she herself said, for a council that she can work with. It's my understanding, based on the city charter, that it is the responsibility of the mayor of Syracuse to work with whatever council the people of the city elect.
Well, I'm guessing that Mr. Wright and Ms. Hunter want to get in on this, but one quick last question for you. Were you ever told during your term, essentially, to get on board with the mayor, or you would be deselected? Was this given as a warning? This is coming down the road if you don't change your tune?
Never explicitly, but, it's not hard to read the tea leaves.
Okay. Let me see if either of the two of you want to comment on Councilor Deno's assessment here, and then we'll move on to the next topic.
I think, actually, having had been secretary of the Democratic Party for 2 terms, for 4 years, that there is a way in which I think someone could presume that switching people around and getting people into slots is manipulating. I don't think that's generally the rule, because the ward chairs are generally responsible to fill slots. And if those slots are not filled because the ward chairs are not actively engaging community members to become committee members, then the party has to identify people to fill the committee.
So let me interrupt you and ask one question, and I'll put it to all three of you, and maybe then we should go on to the next topic. It gets back to what Councilor Deno said about some people being moved into positions where they had more weighted votes. Were there any instances in this cycle where someone in this party committee was moved from one position to another where they got more weighted votes, and they were folks that voted to have you and Councilwoman Kessner as the nominee? In other words, I'm looking for the counterfactual here. Can you think of any?
I'm not aware of any.
Okay.
I would be very surprised to I'm not aware of exactly how everyone voted.
Right.
Okay.
Great. Okay. Yes.
I just step in.
Yeah.
I just want to make it clear. After 34 and a half years of working for the City of Syracuse and the Department of Public Works, I've come in encounter with and worked with many, many people. And when I went through the list of committee members in the City of Syracuse, I actually knew over half of them or have worked with them or done something with them. So for me, I'm very familiar with the party structure and then the party members.
And so it's a small town. Everybody knows everybody.
That's correct.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Lance Denno, Pamela Hunter, and Jeff Wright, candidates for the two at-large Syracuse City Council positions in the upcoming Democratic primary election. All right. Well, let's talk about how the City Council functions as a legislative body. Pamela Hunter, you mentioned something about this earlier. Let me come back to Jeff Wright with this. How do you think the City Council functions as a legislative body? Is it currently functioning well?
I believe that the council is doing its job the way that they feel the way it needs to be done.
Okay. Any particular problems with it that you would identify? Because you are sort of running as an agent of change.
My biggest concern when I look at the council, being all Democrats, that there doesn't even seem to be unity amongst the council on issues in working together. And that's a concern.
Okay. And Pamela Hunter, you mentioned some things before about what you perceive to be the problems and why you were chosen. How do you think putting you on the council is going to improve the way it functions?
Well, I have a record having been on the council and being the public safety committee chair and having rewritten with the legislative advisory committee the citizens review board legislation. I have a track record for being able to deliver legislation that affects positively the citizens in the city of Syracuse. I think that what the Syracuse residents are looking for is a legislative body that legislates, is not necessarily concerned with operations administratively of the city. That's not the legislative body's function. It functions is to approve budgetary items, to make sure that they appropriate items. But there is a lack of legislative agenda. I think that 98% or a high majority percentage of time, the legislative body approves everything that's advanced in front of them that comes from the city departments, i.e. the mayor. I think that there needs to be strength and leadership on the council creating their own legislation, something like the Citizens Review Board, rewrite that positively affects the city. Resolutions are not binding legislations. You know, this is what the city residents are looking for.
Okay. And after the break, I'll come back to Councilor Denno, get your thoughts on this. So what I'm hearing from the two of you then is from Mr. Wright, a concern about lack of unity within the Democrats who are running the city council entirely at this point. And then Ms. Hunter, from you, the concern about where the priorities are in terms of legislation versus administrative oversight. That's what I'm hearing from the two of you. My guests are Lance Denno, Pamela Hunter, and Jeff Wright. They are candidates for the two at-large Syracuse City Council positions in the upcoming Democratic primary election. Ms. Hunter and Mr. Wright were designated by the party committee to run on the party line, and the Democratic incumbent, Lance Denno, has challenged them in a primary. All right, we were talking before about how the council works as a legislative body. Councilor Denno, what do you make of this issue? How well do you think the council functions, and where are its biggest problems?
I think the council functions fairly well, actually. The role of the council in a strong mayor form of government is essentially to act as a check and balance on the executive branch. And we do that in a number of different ways. We do it in the budget process, where it is probably best displayed, but we also do it in the legislative process. And I can give examples of both of those. And then in the operational sense, once the budget is passed, we also do it on a day-to-day basis in terms of the implementation. An example of that, for instance, would be the requested funding for $2.5 million worth of parking meters. The council thought that it was unnecessary and an expense that the city could not afford, given the fact that we had parking meters that were working and could be easily repaired to meet the new communication standard. So the council blocked that bonding attempt. And to my mind, that is, what the council is supposed to do.
So on this issue that Pamela Hunter brought up about where the council places its effort, it sounds like you, in a sense, you're confirming that, but saying that this is sort of the way the system's designed to work, that the mayor, in a sense, proposes and the council disposes, that the main agenda driver is going to be the mayor for legislative affairs.
Well, given the structure of our city government, that is, in fact, the way it is set up, the mayor proposes the budget. The council can amend the budget, but in a $300 million budget, typically the amendments amount to a couple of million dollars.
So let me ask you something specific then about some of the things that, you have done over the last couple of years. You've held out against some things that have been proposed by the mayor, such as funding for street sweeping, fire equipment, police cars. You mentioned some other things there. And you've done that, at least by my reading in the newspaper, in order to try to get other things that are loosely related or unrelated to those things. For example, more tax-based funding for education, for instance. So is that kind of bargaining that you seem to be engaged in there, is that taking bargaining too far into the realm of obstructionism? I mean, how do you see that, sort of trading one thing for a different thing there?
I would just suggest that all of the equipment that the Public Works Department, Fire Department have requested was ultimately purchased. With regards to the Police Department, however, we did block the purchase of $500,000 of what the Chief of Police described as perks, take-home vehicles for police officers. We blocked that this year, not as a bargaining tool, but simply as a matter of fiscal responsibility. Sometimes there is a back and forth, an attempt to make some progress on a different issue, but very often it's simply speaking for itself as a matter of fiscal policy.
Pamela Hunter, let me come back to you with this general topic. At the national level, the public seems to want some kind of split party control, but they also seem to dislike its effects. So we don't have that act, obviously, in the city of Syracuse. So what is the appropriate relationship that a council, all of the same party as the executive, or almost all the same party, we don't know what's going to happen, should have with that executive?
I have to go back to, you know, strength of leadership again in creating a legislative agenda. I do think that the appropriation of funds, obviously, is a council responsibility. If we're adamant about not wanting unmarked cars to be taken home, the opportunity to say no is to say no to the entire budget. You don't vote yes to the budget and then no for single-line appropriations, especially when it was already written into the budget. I think that's where leadership comes into, quite honestly. I think that the budget is put together by the mayor, and we get a copy of the budget. There are committee chairs that hold meetings and go over line items for the budget. But again, I believe it really goes back to, because, you know, it's pretty primarily a single party legislative body, that if legislative items were created, like a hydrofracking, like the Citizens Review Board, that take precedence for the legislative body, the checks and balances would ceremonially occur every other week during the council meeting, but the legislative body would have its own work that they would be creating and advancing, similar to what you would see on the state level and federal level.
And Jeff Wright, you mentioned before about the your perception of a lack of unity being a problem. I want to follow up with you through this lens on this. Do you think there's a danger when you have a strong mayor, like we have, who has strong views, like she obviously does, and you have a council all of one party, or almost all of one party, that the council could become an extension of the executive to the detriment of constructive public dialogue on the issues, particularly if they're united, as you seem to want them to be?
I don't believe that's the case. I believe that part of that unity is communication. The council needs to communicate best amongst itself to come to consensus on issues so that they can be they can come to the mayor if there's an issue. They can bring it to the mayor, communicate with the mayor, and try to come to a consensus on what will work, what can be moved forward. With regards to a capital plan for equipment, obviously that is just a plan. And, that comes to the council and needs to be determined at that point in time. Is it proper and is it right and is it reasonable to make these expenditures? But we have a confrontational situation, much like the federal government. And I do not believe that we should take the lead from the federal government on how to govern local.
I want to pick up on that point when we come back in here. You're listening to the Campbell Conversations. I'm going to edit myself right there. I got on the wrong thing, so we'll just take that out. In case you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations, and I'm talking with Lance Denno, Pamela Hunter, and Jeff Wright, candidates for the two at-large Syracuse City Council positions in the upcoming Democratic primary election. On that point, Councillor Denno, you mentioned before about the council needing to act as a check. Do you think, then, in these instances of one-party control that we have now, that the council almost should adopt a deliberately skeptical, perhaps even deliberately oppositional attitude toward the executive in order to maintain that check and balance? Would you take it that far?
Absolutely not. Okay. It should not be a deliberate challenge based on just the fact that it's a one party sitting on the council. Every issue needs to be addressed based on its unique factors. Mm-hmm. The idea that because we are all Democrats, we should necessarily agree on everything doesn't reflect the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is, a very diverse group of people, both nationally and here in the city of Syracuse, with differences of opinion and different values. And I think the council does a very good job of reflecting that diversity of opinion and values.
Well, let me stick with you for a moment and ask you this specific question about the way the council works. If you could make a change in the rules of the council in order to improve things, one change, what would it be?
I think the council party structure, committee structure, rather, really needs to be amended. So that the committees have more a more fundamental role in legislation. Right now, the only real functioning purpose of the committees is for the assignment of proposals to a specific individual. There are 10 committees because there are 10 councilors. If we had 9 councilors, there would be 9 committees. It seems to me that the committee structure needs to be cut back a little bit, but that the committees need to be more involved in creating legislation.
And Mr. Wright, same question. If you can make one change in the rules of the council to make it work better, what would it be?
I tend to concur a bit with Councillor Denno related to committees. I don't believe that the committees are the ones that should be responsible for bringing legislation forward, but we need to update those committees to ensure that in this day and age, they're covering and functioning the way they should. A committee chair can always call a committee meeting on any topic, you know, to discuss what is currently happening. If there's issues, get it out there. You know, it can always take in, you know, public information at those committee meetings so that we know the feel of the public and where they're at in any particular situation.
And Ms. Hunter, same question to you. What one change would you make?
I think actually I would put in parameters for the legislators to have requirements to actively include the community residents in some of the legislative process, similar to what I did, because I think that the citizens are so far removed in many ways from the decisions that are made in that building on Washington that I think actively engaging them in some sort of required way would move the city forward immensely.
And this will be our last question here today, and I'd ask the three of you to be very brief on this. It's going to be a segue into our policy conversation next week. Mr. Wright, start with you. What do you see as the single biggest threat to the vitality of the city of Syracuse over the next 20 years?
The stabilization of our revenues. We have to get sustainable revenues. We have to find a way that we can rely year to year in our budget and what monies that we're going to have available to spend on services and economic development and such.
Ms. Hunter, what do you see as the single biggest threat?
I think I'd broaden that a little bit and say the economy. I think suburban sprawl affects our economy. I think vacant houses affect our economy. I think lack of employment affects our economy. That goes to revenue, that, you know, goes to the tax base, that goes towards not being able to, you know, fund different items because we don't have the money. I think it's definitely broad that we need to look at this big city-county picture, because if we're not taking care of the broader economy and only solely focusing on single items, we're not going to be able to get it done going forward.
Councillor Denno, you have the last word on this. What do you see as the single biggest threat to the vitality of the city over the next 20 years?
I don't know if you really can point to just one, but certainly I would agree that the fiscal condition of the city is critical. But the effectiveness of the city school district is paramount to maintaining a vital community.
That was Lance Denno, Pamela Hunter, and Jeff Wright, candidates for Syracuse City Council and the upcoming Democratic primary election. Next week, we'll continue this conversation with a focus on specific policies affecting the city. Two reminders, the election is September 10th, and you can find this conversation as a downloadable and sendable podcast on WRVO.org under the Campbell Conversation tab. Again, thanks again to the three of you for talking with me.
Thank you.
Thank you.